Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
How many of you guys know who Carmelo Anthony is? He's an NBA superstar. Who knows him? Raise a hand there if you know who he is. All right, I've got a few out here. Well, Carmelo Anthony, he's NBA. He played for the USA basketball team this past year. And one time I heard him in an interview. I don't know if it was an interview or if it was at the ESPYs. He'd received an award. But you know how it goes when usually you stand up to give thanks, you know, when you receive an award or when somebody tells you good job. I remember he stood up and he said these words and my jaw just dropped. It hit the floor. He said, well, first of all, I want to thank myself because I've worked hard for this award. And my jaw just dropped. I mean, think about that. The first words out of his mouth were, I want to thank myself. I mean, he forgot about his family, didn't he? That carried him back and forth to practice and spent all that money on his uniforms and shoes and all that other team apparel. He forgot about his teammates who had passed him the ball and who had helped play defense and helped set screens to get him wide open. He had forgotten about the organizations that he had played for, his high school team and the University of Syracuse and the Denver Nuggets and all those folks who were a part of that, giving him an opportunity to shine. I mean, what arrogance. What arrogance. But what a snapshot of the human heart, isn't it? What a snapshot. You know, very few ever have the nerve to say what he said, but many of us have thought it, haven't we? Many of us have thought it. I mean, let's be honest. Boasting about ourselves, it just comes easy, doesn't it? It just comes easy. I don't care how high your self-esteem is. I don't care how low your self-esteem is. We can always find ways to boast in ourselves. In fact, you know, if you think about it, every other religion besides Christianity promotes boasting in ourselves. I mean, sure, they cloak it in religious language, but it's ultimately about what the individual works out for themselves. And you guys know well that our society openly supports those who boast about themselves. But brothers and sisters, here's the beauty of Christ. We are followers of Christ, and we are a peculiar people. Did you know that's what the Bible calls you? Next time somebody looks at you and says, you're a little peculiar, you say, that's right, because my Savior was. Amen? My Savior was peculiar. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. I mean, we're walking this fine line. We are strangers and aliens on this planet. We are citizens of heaven first, and we're citizens of Alexandria and other surrounding communities second. We are being prepared as the bride of Christ, fit for His kingdom and adorned with His righteousness. Now, in our text this morning, the people of Judah, to which Jeremiah was prophesying, they were in a mess. They were in an absolute mess. Now, remember, if you'll remember, Israel was united under King David, and then it stayed united under his son, King Solomon. But the king that followed after Solomon, he didn't do too well as king. And so the kingdom divided into the northern territory of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. So there were two kingdoms. And at this point in the life of Judah, that's where Jeremiah was prophesying. At this point in Judah's history, the northern kingdom, Israel, had already been carried off into exile. They had already had the Assyrians come down and destroy them, wipe them out. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke it through the prophets, that this was His judgment on the nation of Israel. And the Judeans watched that. But now they're here in the same mess. They had forsaken the Lord and went their own way, absolutely making shipwreck of the covenant that God had made with them. They thought they knew what was best. In reality, I mean, you've seen this before, haven't you? Didn't they just get a little bit too big for their britches? Y'all ever been in that situation before, a little bit too big for your britches? Listen, Jeremiah's job was to bring them back down to size. He came prophesying judgment and repentance. Why? Because Judah had boasted in the wrong things. Now, friends, listen. My purpose this morning is to not wipe out all your boasting, okay? That would be unbiblical, all right? I'm not coming to say, do not boast at all. My purpose this morning is to come and to refocus your boasting and to intensify your boasting. The Lord, through Jeremiah, he identifies three areas that we should not boast in and then points us to only one proper and acceptable boast. My prayer this morning, and this is the big idea, is that you will only boast in Christ and Him crucified. That you will only boast in Christ and Him crucified. Let's look at the first area here where we should not boast. Don't boast in your wisdom. Look at verse 23 with me. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Now listen, that's just a roundabout way of saying true wisdom is characterized by not boasting in your own wisdom. I mean, that's sort of a roundabout way in it to say it. But if you're really wise, you don't boast in your own wisdom. You know, the Lord has equipped us with amazing minds, hasn't He? He has equipped us. I mean, this gray matter in our skulls, I mean, the depths of it, the geniuses have not gotten to yet. They don't understand it all yet. It is amazing. But you know what? It's limited. This gray matter in our head is limited. It is limited from the simplest of people to the geniuses. I mean, we've done some great things, but it's limited. First of all, we're limited by our knowledge, isn't we? I mean, this brain, it only has certain knowledge. You know, there was a time when I thought that I knew everything. Just ask my mom and dad. Y'all been there before where you thought you knew everything? Some of you might be there right now still, huh? Praise God that you'll come to realize, as I did over the course of the world, as it hit me, I realized that I really don't know anything at all. And I've tried my own wisdom. I've tried my own way, and I've watched it fail me miserably when I needed it most. Now, this Friday, I mean, this will be a story I'll tell for a while probably. I was depending on my own wisdom. And we just lack knowledge. We can't see what's going to happen next. And so when we act a certain, you know, we do a certain thing, we don't really realize sometimes what's going to happen right after that. Zachariah, we were at my in-laws at Christie's mom and dad's this past weekend, and we went out for a gator ride. And they live in southeastern Ohio, which is basically Appalachians right there. And so hills and hollers all around the place. And I'd been down in this place 100 times with Zachariah, and we were down there, but it was wet. And you know what? My knowledge was limited because I didn't realize that on that gator, Steen, you can reach down and lock in both wheels. Steen's got one, and Charles and Brenda have one. So they know that if you get in a bind, you just reach down and pull up that little lever, and both wheels on the back turn instead of just one. Well, I was trying to go up this hill, and I got stuck. I couldn't get up. So I backed back down, and I got stuck again. And so I got off, and I'm trying to push it out. It's in neutral, and it's not working. I'm not strong enough. And so I get off and I put it in drive, and Zachariah's there with me. I say, son, just give it a little bit of gas and daddy to help daddy pull this out. Oh, Lord. Y'all already know what's coming, don't you? Huh? Y'all looking the crazy man up here. I said, son, just give it just a little bit of gas to help daddy get up over this ridge so we can get on out of here. Well, he gave it gas. Just not a little. And here that gator took off, and I'm running beside him and saying, stop, let off the gas. You know, bang, right into a tree. Bless his little heart, he flew forward and busted his lip. And I'm, you know, I'm scared to death, and I'm trying to assess the damages, and I go around, and the front wheel is supposed to be straight, but it was at a 90-degree angle. I mean, we literally tore the steering column out of that thing, and there's a good way to get down in there, and it took us about 2 hours to get it out. With a tractor and all this stuff. It was terrible. But you see, my mind, my wisdom is limited because of a lack of knowledge. I can only know so many things. I did not foresee what was going to happen. I did not foresee that I was going to make a shipwreck or just an absolute mess that day. And so that's one of the problems with our own wisdom. You know, I often wonder about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I often wonder if things would have been different if they had really known the depth, the great price that the wages of their sin would bring. Now listen, yeah, they knew, didn't they? They knew that, and God told them, if you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. He told them that, didn't he? But I don't think that they really knew, the depth of what was going to happen, what it all was going to turn out to be. And I know that if they had known, there's a good chance that they would not have done that. But that happens all the time, doesn't it? I mean, that happens all the time to you and me. We just don't realize what's going to happen next. And so when we trust in our own wisdom, sometimes we get into deep, serious trouble. But our wisdom is also limited morally. The Bible says that our minds, from which our wisdom springs forth, the Bible says that our minds are naturally depraved. That means tainted with sin. You see this all the time in the Bible. Look at Cain and Abel. Look where Cain's wisdom got him. It got him to the point where he murdered his brother. Think about Joseph's brothers. Their wisdom. He thinks he's going to be ruler over us someday. Let's throw him in a pit. Oh, wait, there's someone who will probably give us money for a slave. Let's take him out of the pit and give him to the slave traders. You see where their wisdom's getting them? If you think about Israel at the Jordan River. They're looking over into the promised land and they see, they've sent spies over into the promised land. And they come back and they give a report. And almost all of them except two of them say, we cannot do this. And two of them are standing up with our God. They're saying anything is possible. But they rested on their own wisdom. And they did not go and take the land. And you guys know well, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And not a single person who was an adult, saw the promised land that was a part of that bunch. I mean, you just time and time again throughout the Bible, our wisdom, it's so limited by sin that we're morally limited. Let me ask you, where has your wisdom gotten you lately? Listen, Judah knew better. They knew better, but they thought they knew better than God knew, all right? I mean, they had been taught. But they got a little big for their britches, and they thought that they knew better than God about their affairs. They were boasting in their own wisdom, and friends, it led to their destruction. Where is your wisdom leading you? Is it leading you toward destruction? Listen, do not boast in your wisdom. So that's the first area we should not boast in. The second one, you'll see it there in the same verse. Don't boast in your own strength. Look at verse 23 again. Thus says the Lord, let not the mighty man boast of his might. Judah, again, had turned its back on God and said, Lord, we really don't need you. Thank you for your help and bringing us out of Egypt and all that stuff, but we're okay now. We've got things under control. I mean, they trusted in their armies and in their alliances with the pagan nations. They had forgotten what the Lord had promised them on the banks of the Red Sea. When Pharaoh, when he was bearing down on them and their backs were against the wall about to face death, the Lord through Moses said to them, I will fight for you and you will keep silent. He literally said, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Friends, isn't that an amazing promise? Right now, there are some of you today who are being attacked on all fronts, and you've about had your gullet full. You are about ready to come out guns blazing. You are about ready to come up and fight, aren't you? Some of you are there this morning, but listen to what the Lord says. I will fight for you. Listen, the Lord fights for His children. You do not have to come out guns blazing. You can trust and rest in His strength. Listen, y'all, do not boast in your own strength. I mean, any strength that you have, any strength that I have, it's fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. There will always be somebody bigger. There will always be somebody better, badder, stronger, faster, craftier. Just look at poor old Goliath. I mean, he was a giant. He was a seasoned warrior. And a young boy comes out there and whoops him, takes his head. David said, with my God, I will slay him. Do you see where our strength is? Think about the world's strongest man. I don't know who he is, what his name is, how much he can lift. But just one mutated cell in his body could spark the onset of cancer and reduce that man to physical frailty. I mean, our strength is so fleeting. We are so fragile. But you know what? This shows us that we have no strength to boast in. That's why I love Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. I mean, I love this passage. This is a passage that you can feast on every single day of your life. The Isaiah writes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary and tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Friends, we have no strength to boast in. So please, this morning, do not boast in your own strength. Now, the third area where Jeremiah tells us not to boast, he says, don't boast in your own riches. Look at verse 23 again. "Thus says the Lord, let not a rich man boast in his riches." Here's the beauty of this point right here. I don't even need to preach this out. I mean, we are living this, right? We are living this right now in our country. I mean, some of you right now, you're worried because your finances are crumbling underneath you. Jobs are drying up. I mean, you go to the tank of gas and you fall into depression when you see where it actually ends up stopping because you see your wallet being sucked out, sucked dry. I just got a letter from my investment broker the other day saying, "Ben, it's coming." I mean, I ain't got much money. I got a little bit. And he said, The quarterly reports are about to come out. And I just want to tell you, it's going to be real bad. It's going to be real bad. I mean, that's what he said in this letter. But you know what? There is still, I don't care how bad it is financially, there is still plenty of room for you and me to boast in our riches, isn't there? There is still plenty of room. And Judah thought they had plenty of room, even though Babylon was knocking down their doors. They thought that they had room to boast in their riches. You know, Jeremiah, he was probably born under the reign of King Manasseh. And then he lived under the reigns of Kings Amon and Josiah and Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin. And under Jehoiachin is when Babylon came and destroyed Judah. And, you know, but still, Judah's coffers, they were full. They had plenty of money, and they often paid enormous amounts of money to other countries to leave them alone. I mean, they would come and they'd say, "Listen, there was one king that literally took the gold off of the temple, the plates on the temple, to give to the king so that he would leave them alone." What is that trusting in? That's trusting in riches. That's trusting in our own riches. We see in 2 Kings 23 that Jehoahaz paid off Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. He paid him. He paid that man 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold as tribute. I don't know how much that comes to in dollars, but I'm going to promise you, it's a bunch of money. It is a ton of money. They thought that they could simply pay their way out of danger. You know, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there in the king's chambers, at the king's round table, when he was sitting down with his advisors, and they were seeing the Pharaoh threatening attack. And he's sitting around with his advisors, and he's saying, "Well, guys, what resources do we have? What can we do? What do we have to get this Pharaoh to leave us alone?" And someone said, probably, "Chariots and horses." And the king said, "No. We're outnumbered." And someone probably said, "The Lord God, he's a resource for us." And the king probably said, "Nah, he's not really much help at a time like this." And then someone said, "How about our rich pockets? Maybe we can give him enough money to leave us alone. And they all said, yeah, let's do that. How foolish. How foolish. They had forgotten, hadn't they, church? They had forgotten the might of the Lord God and His great love for Israel and His great love for Judah. Friends, do you realize what your riches actually are? They're a vapor. They are a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:19 that our riches, I mean, they are vulnerable to all sorts of demise. To moths, to rust, He says, to thieves. Do not boast in your riches. Now, if we should not boast in our wisdom, our strength, or our riches, where should our boasting be? Because remember this morning, my purpose is to not cut out your boasting. My purpose is to refocus your boasting, to intensify your boasting. So where should we boast? Friends, the answer is that we should boast in Christ alone. We should boast in Christ alone. Look at verse 24 with me. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Listen, our wisdom is nothing. Our strength is nothing. Our riches are nothing. But understanding and knowing God, friends, that is everything. That is everything. If only Judah had realized this. Only if you and I will realize that this morning. If you and I will grasp that. Friends, do you know what God would do with this church? Do you know what God would do if we realized and really grasped and really lived out that Christ is our only boast? Do you realize what would happen in the kingdom right here in this community? If we would grasp it, if we would just take hold of it. This morning you're saying, I want to understand God. I want to know God. Beloved, let me share with you the key this morning to understanding God and to knowing God. The key is Jesus Christ. The only way to understand and to know God is through Christ. Jesus told us this himself in Matthew 11, verse 27. He said this, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Friends, if you want to know the Father, you must first know the Son. You must first know the Son. Why is that? Why? Look at Jeremiah 9:24. Look at that again. Look at that. God proclaims that He is the Lord who exercises three things, loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. I declare to you this morning, church, that God gloriously, beautifully, magnificently manifested all three of those things in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Amen. If you want to know and if you want to understand God's loving kindness, then look at Christ and Him crucified. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 7 say this, and I'm just going to read this whole text because I think it is so key. It points us to God's loving kindness in Christ. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And then this is where it gets good. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in what? Kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see that kindness right there in verse 7? And then in verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Friends, listen. That's the ultimate demonstration of God's loving kindness right there. Do you realize that He did not have to? God did not have to. He would have been perfectly just to send every single human being to hell. But because He's so full of mercy, and He's so full of love, and he's so full of kindness, He made a way for you. And He made a way for me to escape the wages of our sin. The way, friends, is who? Christ. The way is Christ. If you want to know and you want to understand God's justice, look at Christ and Him crucified. Listen, that right there, Christ and Him crucified, that is justice on display. Look at Romans 3, verses 21 through 26. The Apostle Paul writes, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate, listen to this, this was to demonstrate His righteousness because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at this present time so that He will be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. Friends, listen to me. He is just. He is just in putting Christ to death for you and me. Listen, sin could not go unpunished. I mean, maybe if it was up to me and you, I mean, yeah, we could let it go. But that is not God's character. That is not His nature. It is impossible for Him to just let sin go unpunished. You hear me that? It is impossible for God to let sin go unpunished. And so what did He do? Oh, friends, what a glorious plan. It makes no sense to me and you, but what a glorious plan. He sent His Son to die for you and me. And I want to say to you this morning, there are only two options. To every single one of us in here this morning, there are only two options. Either you pay the penalty of your sin yourself, or option number two, Christ pays the penalty for you. Listen, that is the offering before every single one of us this morning. Either you pay the penalty of your sin yourself and bear eternity apart from God, or Christ pays that penalty for you. And you spend eternity in the presence of God with Christ taking your sin. If you want to understand God's righteousness, look where? At Christ and the cross. Jesus did not deserve the cross, did He? You and I did. Jesus never sinned. But you and I do. I mean, we can do nothing but sin before we came to Christ. And even now we sin daily. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Friends, God loves righteousness. In fact, our text says He delights in it. Our text this morning, Jeremiah 9:24, says that He delights in righteousness. And this morning, His plan is to spread His righteousness from one corner of this earth to the other corner of this earth. And from that corner of the earth to this one. And you know how He's doing it? Through the church. Through saving sinners. Through taking men and women who knew nothing of Him and bringing them into the kingdom and then sending them out. Friends, His righteousness is being displayed everywhere the church is. The very righteousness of God. And so this morning, may you understand God And may you know God. And the only way to do that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, church, boast in Christ. Boast in Christ. Stand and be amazed at what God has done. As the bride of Christ, we are being adorned, as I said, and may we be adorned with Christ and Him crucified being our only boast. And so my question to you this morning, I mean, this goes for every single person here. Look you in the face and say, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Listen to me. This junk about is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? You cannot separate them. You understand what I'm saying? If He is not your Lord, He is not your Savior. And if He is not your Savior, He is not your Lord. And so this morning, you have the opportunity to come and lay your life down and choose Christ and place your faith on Christ. I know that the Holy Spirit is working on some people at this very moment. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Do not harden your heart in this moment, but come to Christ. Trust in Christ. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're thinking. Today, you can be born again. Coming to Christ. You can come to Christ and be saved, and you can know Him, and you can begin to understand Him as we come in Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.